There we go.
Yes, sir. Oh, shit.
All right, so when I tell this story, though, I'm going to replace the names, and I'll tell you who it is afterwards. You'll probably get it through the story, though.
Oh, okay. All right. So we just gone. You just gone.
I was just telling you, just so this is at the beginning of the podcast, so I don't forget to take this part out. It's at the beginning.
All right.
But I'm not going to get straight into the story. I feel loud as fuck.
Nah. Wait, you got your... Oh, okay. Nah.
Am I loud?
Nah. Am I on the top or the bottom?
You at the top. You kind of low.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, sir. Ski. We in there like swimwear. Cheers to like the 130th episode.
Yeah, one of those.
What's in my cup is in my cup. Don't worry about what's in my cup.
Well, somebody needs to be worried, Lil Wayne, because goddamn.
Bruh, but it was when he actually needed it. He was prescribed that shit, okay?
Sure, but...
No, seriously. He was actually prescribed it. He had the whole, like... Yeah, that's the only time he was really doing that shit.
Doing what shit?
Lean.
Bro, you fucking lying, bro.
Look, I watched the documentary, bro, nigga. Lying. I did! Bro, I'm just saying!
Bro, this nigga was a fucking lean addict.
No, surprisingly, a lot of the times when he had double cups, nigga, majority of it was like sweet tea or some shit in those fucking double cups.
Right.
Whatever.
I mean, the nigga got seizures to back it up. It's not like I'm just saying shit.
No.
Multiple seizures we talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about, look, this was like before he got hooked. Okay. Yeah. Like once he got hooked, that's when, you know, the hair started falling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about like young three. Wayne. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. So it started off as a prescription now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's how most addiction starts.
Yeah. Like, that's sad. It's actually sad.
Those opioids get addictive.
Oh, it reminds me of the who is it? DMX? I think he was like laced, and then like
That's how he got addicted to crack.
Yeah, like that shit's pretty fucking sad.
It was the dog.
Rest in peace, DMX, man.
Yeah, rest in peace. I don't know why I did that.
But you heard this new female that just came out? Scarlip, I think that's her name. She reminded me of like female DMX. She's like, get the fuck out of New York. You ain't welcome anymore. I'm like, yo, who the fuck is this?
I don't know.
she just come. Shout out to her, by the way. So, you know, she getting a lot of love from both sides, men and women. And it's not too often that you see women really
getting love.
Yeah, from niggas. Yeah, yeah.
Besides, musically.
Yeah.
We
just got to clarify that.
Yeah, because that was gonna sound really fucking off-putting. Okay. Well, damn. So, what was the story you had to say?
I mean, shit. I guess I can get right into it.
Yeah. Intro or nah?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Intro first. Intro. Oh, okay. Let's do all that.
All right. So I know y'all probably had to, you know, hear a little bit of that, but if you don't know, now you know. But welcome to the motherfucking podcast, y'all. Y'all already know who the fuck it is. It's your boy Jew, aka the Giraffe Slayer, the Granny Taker, and the MILF Player. And I also got my main man.
It is your boy Nate on the mic, and welcome back to the motherfucking podcast.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what episode this is. As I look over my screen, I realize
it was like,
I don't even know. But we are, you know what I'm saying, happy to be back. You know, just us two, and for a long time and a while, besides the last episode that's going to be dropping, audio form soon, right?
Yeah.
Did you email that to me?
I emailed, nah, that was just
a okay. Episode. So soon, we're going to have that out for y'all. But yeah, man, shout out to our sponsor,
What's the scenario?
Nah, you know what I'm saying, Jinx, you owe me a soda. But SSL Podcast. In the code for free shipping when you check out. And I guess we get right into it. So I'm gonna call this a little small segment, Ratchet Moment of the Day. This happened to me today, by the way, this morning.
So it's fresh.
Yeah, fresh as fuck. Yeah.
Okay, the universe said, all right, we're gonna bless you with
I'm like, one. Yo, I gotta talk about this on a podcast. Like, like as this is happening, I'm like, yo, I'm talking about this on a podcast. But all right. So I had to take my homie somewhere. We can call him John. Let's call him John.
Okay.
And I'm taking him to his bitch house so that he can, you know, pick up some stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, he pick up some stuff. He go back to the car. He's like, oh, I need to get this one last thing.
All right.
So.
I kind of feel like I know who this
you
is.
You probably do. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. But as he goes to get this thing, he's a couple minutes later, comes back to the door and start yelling my name. Like, come here. Come here. Nick, come here. I'm like.
The fuck?
I yell out, why?
That is so you.
Yeah.
The fuck for?
But in the urgency in his voice, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I don't even got no shoes on, my nigga. Like, I just, I'm driving barefoot. I had no shoes on.
Nah, you didn't plan on getting that.
I didn't. I didn't. Okay. Shit, right. I thought it was going to be a whoop whoop, but you know what? Niggas is never like that. Oh, so,
shout out my nigga Danny.
Yeah, right. So he's yelling my name. I'm like, okay, he must want something serious. I'm walking through this fucking muddy ass grass with no shoes on. Like, I mean, hey, it is what it is. I'm like, this nigga sounding urgent. Let me get to him.
Somebody better been dying.
Man, I thought, and that's crazy because that's what I thought. I thought somebody's having a heart attack or something. Like, yeah. I thought he was calling me to come save somebody. Man, I get to the door. He like, man, this nigga just put hands on me. I'm like, what? As I say that, John steals off on that nigga.
Simple enough. For
there we go.
How does that make sense?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but you can't try to make sense out of everybody's post.
Yeah, it's not a post. This is an actual like conversation.
In the form of a post? What
are you talking about? No, like in the form of a DM. Oh,
somebody talking to you?
Yes.
Oh.
I can't say the actual person's name.
But yeah.
Bro, this. Damn.
All right, okay. So where I left off,
John stole off
on this nigga. See, I'm the type of nigga that if, let's say you was in a fight, you just fought a nigga, whatever.
Yeah.
If you call me, I'm not finna go over there and just start stealing off on this nigga. I'm finna assess the situation and see who in the wrong and shit like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the mentality to have, but.
Yeah, it really isn't. Especially in like the heat of the moment.
Yeah, some niggas like, you know, when shit go down with niggas, with men, I mean.
You gotta.
It go down. It go down like this too. Like, yeah. It go down fast. So quickly. We result to violence so fast. But he's still off on this nigga. I'm like, oh shit. So I'm trying to get in between the situation, break these niggas up. Mind you, the nigga he fighting is fucking, he's a big dude. Like, he's a fucking, not buff, but like he is
a stocky motherfucker.
Husky, I would say husky, like, you know, with the belly, but it's like solidness type shit.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh,
he looks like he could take a punch.
Yeah, before I even knew that there was beef or anything like that, because like I said, he already went into this house.
Yeah.
He came back to the car, went back to the house, and then there was a problem. So before I could find out that there's beef, he fucking steal off on this nigga. I'm trying to get in there. The dude's bitch was holding me back. So I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, yo.
Get your hands off me.
Yo, tips out there for any fucking trap queens out there that want to. Yo, you do not want to die for that nigga, bro.
At all.
You need to stay out of this
shit.
Get
the fuck out the way. Stay out of man's business.
Yeah, this grown man shit. Or this man shit. Yeah, you need to stay out of that shit.
Oh, geez. Why you think Cash Doll wouldn't say nothing about BMF, wouldn't say shit about Lamar and Meech history and shit like that? She said, I just stay in a lady's place.
Straight up. That's none of your business.
Oh, God.
You need to stay out of it. Because, hey, I could have been a different type of nigga. What I end up doing, though, as she's, first of all, bitch strong as fuck. I ain't gonna lie. She's strong as fuck. She's holding my ass back for a good minute. I toss this bitch fucking just like, bitch.
Get the fuck out the way.
I'm like, I'm about to go break up the fight. Nah, I could have just lied to her and just went to go jump his ass with John.
Yeah.
But I actually end up breaking it up. This nigga's leaking. I just, I'm telling you, this nigga is like 28 too.
I'm proud of my little nigga.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
I'm proud of my little nigga.
But this nigga, as we like, as I break it up, I push John. I push John. I'm like, go back to the car. I push this nigga back. He follow us outside because we like got to grab that last thing that he came in there for. He's like, bro, no, just me and him, bro. Just me and him. In my head, and also in John's head, we thinking like, bro, it was
one-on-ones, bitch.
But it was just one-on-one, and you lost.
Like, but John snuck him, though.
No. Well, yeah, John did.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
all right, okay.
Is that on?
Yeah.
And we're back. John sunk his ass first.
I'm just calling Peter. I actually didn't know his name at all, but we just gonna call him Peter for the sake of the story. The big nigga snuck John first. So though John snuck his ass, cause nobody saw that coming, I'm walking up to the door and bro, he just put hands on me. Like it was like that fast. Wait. That's how fast it was.
Like, it was like, Brad,
it was almost like he just wanted me like to witness.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking this whole time. I'm like, ain't no way.
He filed on this shit just like that.
He was like, bro, nah, you gonna have to see this shit.
But now it all makes sense with the context, knowing that, you know, it was a,
yeah,
you know, he snuck him first and then he snuck him back. But man, I didn't want to have to fucking throw nobody baby mama or a bitch. I didn't want to have to do that. Like, I didn't want to have to see John fight this grown ass man in this house with no furniture in it.
Like nigga, like 21 at 10 and o'clock you fighting in the a 28-year-old. Like.
Yeah. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, dog. I didn't even go to sleep till like 3. I'm sitting here like, bruh. First of all, same, mad as hell, yo, that I had to do this in the first place. I'm like, yo, okay, bro, just make this shit quick, like, just please, like, I'm trying to get back home. We got weed back at the house, nigga. Like,
I'm just trying to chill.
Yeah, like it's the last off day. Got work tomorrow. Like, come on, bro.
I'm trying not to be late. Like, come on, dude.
And you know, fucking with niggas, bro, you get yourself into some shit if you ain't careful.
You ain't lying. That's why you gotta assess the situation.
Yeah.
Nah, I ain't mad at that.
Yeah, but that was ratchet moment of the day. I thought that was a super ratchet incident that happened, and I just happened to be involved in it. And y'all don't understand. I'm not in any ratchet situations ever.
He's an introvert.
Like, I don't even be outside ever. I have no motion. So this was like so crazy to me that niggas getting down like this at 10 o'clock in the morning. I just had to tell y'all, man.
Well, damn.
But yeah, that's enough for that story, man. I had to get that off because Jesus Christ, bro. I'm like, niggas. That's what I was thinking. Niggas.
But shit, well, since we're talking about stories, yeah, I definitely got fucked up like a couple days ago.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, okay. So, Friday, got off work.
All right. Last Friday night. All right, I'm corny. All right.
So, before I leave my job, all right, I see the supervisor. I was like, all right, Tiff, I'll see you on Monday. She was like, all right, see you Monday. I was like, whoo, it's time to get fucked up. She was
straight
like,
up.
She said, damn, this early? I was like, yes. I said, tequila, tacos, and titties. It's over with. And I just walked out the job.
But you had to move like right after work, though?
Hell yes.
Damn.
And it was my room.
See, he got motion, y'all. He got motion, even if it's in the room.
Oh, geez.
All right, you can continue.
Oh, geez, nigga. So, I get home. You know, I ain't gonna cap to you. I was watching Snowfall. Mm-hmm. I watched like two and a half episodes of like Snowfall.
Speaking of which, I think we should have a debate on whether or not. Good, just go on. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. So, watch my Snowfall. I hit up one of my homegirls and shit because we was all supposed to link up at my homeboy Teak's house for like a kickback or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is like the pregame, and then we go to the actual, you know, situation and shit. So I call her. She was like, I was like, what you doing? She was like, you know, shit, blah, blah, blah. She asked, what time is the kickback? I said, I think it's around 8 or so. She was like, okay, well, cool. 7:30. Wait, I asked her, do you need a ride? She was like, yeah, somebody else is coming over too. Mm-hmm. So can you take both of us? I was like, yeah, I got you. And we went half on a bottle.
Okay.
So that's cool. Now, let me show y'all. This is the same bottle from that night. You see how much liquor is gone, all right? For the record, I only had 6 shots. I thought I had 4.
By the way, though, guys,
don't drink and drive.
That too. I know things on camera may seem smaller, but I'm telling you right now, that bottle is fucking huge,
this
dog.
Is a huge fucking bottle. That shit is fucking huge. 2 bottles in 1. All right? Look, y'all need to understand that. Look.
How much that cost?
Like 40.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, really 38, but you get the point.
Yeah.
So, get to the kickback. We crack that shit open. I take my... No.
Is it warm?
We get into the function. Nigga, we get it cracking. All right, crack open the bottle. I take about, you know, my couple shots and shit. I'm feeling it. I'm thinking I'm good.
This at the kickback, though.
Yeah, this at the kickback. All right. I get into a whole debate. We're not even gonna go into that debate.
Nah, what was the debate about? Just drunken rambling.
Nah. Somebody that identifies as they, them, but then subscribes to being called a black woman, saying that yes, like how the fuck can you sit here and tell? We're not gonna get into this right now. We're not getting into the context. We good. We good. We good. We gonna skip past that. So long story short. When we walk out the door, I feel like a GTA character that's too drunk. I'm just like, okay, I got this. I sit in the car. I'm like, oh, shit, I might not have this. But my pride. I got two bitches in the car. I can't be a little bitch now. Yeah. Like, fuck out of here. I'm driving, one eye open. Yes, just like this, bro. I'm driving like this, just oh shit.
At any point, function. Did you think to let someone else drive your car?
No. And that is a valid question, but no, I did not think about that. God, why didn't I do that? So,
I get it, because if you're gonna crash your shit, you would be the one. Oh God.
So. Fast forward, we finally get to the function. I'm like, whew, thank God. We made it. Nigga, we made it. Thank you.
How far was the drive?
Like 18, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't too bad, but...
That's straight, yeah.
Yeah, but once it's like the liquor started like kicking, like Liu Kang, then it's like, all right, nigga, this feels like a 30-minute drive.
Like, damn, nigga, we still out there. Shit.
We get there, all right, I'm good. I haven't drunk any more liquor at this point. All right. Okay. Like, I'm straight. I'm smoking at this point.
So, you still feel fucked up?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yes. So then, Yeah. I still feel fucked up. I walk up to the, it's one of the vendors that have edibles and shit like that. She gave me a push pop banana pudding. She was fire.
Shit, shout her out.
Twisted Best Buds. Shout out to her. Yeah. That shit fire. All right. Fire.
Thank God.
Yeah. But, I think that's what really fucked me up.
That
pushed me to the edge. I was already here. And then it's like that shit took me from here to like, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So I started sitting down trying to play some Tekken. Bruh, I just let whoever the fuck I was fighting beat my ass. I was just like, you got it.
Yeah,
I was like, hold on, give me a second. Got to get myself straight. I walk out to my car. I sit on the side, like on my passenger side. I throw up like five. Man, I threw up like five times. All right, I kid you not. A homeless guy gonna walk up to me and say, "Hey, you all right? you all right, man?" I was like, "Yeah. I'm good." As I'm still just throwing up my guts.
Probably a pool of fucking.
It's a whole fucking like trail going down the street, and we on a hill too. It's so disgusting. Ew. Like, bro, I haven't even looked at my passenger side yet. Like, I'm so serious. I'm just like, I'm too scared to open that door.
It's a good way to break in a car, though.
You ain't lying. Shout out to the Holy Angels and people in Atlanta not being some fuck niggas. But and we was on the east side too, so hey, shout out to y'all. But
wait, what event was this?
Tech and Chill. They was doing a carnival event.
Oh, was that a different location or something?
No.
Oh.
Same location.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but regardless, I throw up. He was like, "Hey, you all right?" I was like, "Yeah. I'm good. Yeah." He was like, "You got some change?" Yo, in my head, I'm like, "Nigga, if you don't get your bitch ass on, bro, what the fuck? Can't you see I'm dying over here? You asked me for some fucking change. Move, nigga."
But
I said out loud, nah. I had a whole jar of change, like literally tucked in the bag.
That's tough.
That is that's the fucked up part. All right, cause I'm like, nigga, don't be asking me for change, and I'm dying.
Yeah, yeah, true that though.
Here. Like, I appreciate you asking if I'm okay, but don't follow up with.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, because that diminishes
like the whole. Yes,
yeah, it's like okay, you didn't actually care about.
That nigga could have spit the block and robbed my ass. Yeah, that's the sad part.
Like, this nigga fucked up. I'm about to rob him.
Yeah, Jesus, like, yeah, I feel like I would have sobered up pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, yeah, were you in like you know that test, not testosterone, adrenaline, and adrenaline yeah, pumping? Yeah, yeah,
it's like, nigga, what the.
Yeah,
but yeah, then I pass out. I leg out the car,
door open,
and everything. I passed out for at least 15 minutes.
Wow.
A dude walked up. He looked like he was heading to the event, and he was like, "Oh, dude, you all right? You need some water or something?" I wake up. I'm like, "Oh shit! Oh nah, yeah, no, nah, I'm good."
Bro, man, that's a scary fucking feeling.
Bro, yes, yes, bro. Yo, I told my brother about this shit. He was like, "Yep. You definitely an Edwards nigga." Like, man, shut the fuck up. So I close the door. I lock that shit. I drink a little bit of water. I open the door again and I try to throw up. Close that bitch. I pass out. Nigga, I woke up 2 hours later.
At any point in this time, did the two? It was two people you drove, right? Did anybody come out?
Bruh, nobody came to the fucking car. I get text messages of, where you at? You missing me getting high. I'm getting high. I'm like, what type of shit is this?
Nah, they just tried your ass. All right, we good.
Okay. Bruh, this motherfucker gonna text my phone. Where you at, nigga? Shit. Where you at, nigga? I don't know where you at, but I'm gonna get an Uber home. I'm tired. I went home. I'm like, you ain't even done shit. Like, what the fuck? Before I left out the building, I said, I'm too fucked up. I'm about to go to the car. You ain't even
Like, wow. I don't know where you at, but I'm gonna have to go home.
like, wow. I could have been somewhere in a ditch.
Yeah, right?
But I'm going home. I'm like, bruh. Then this bitch gonna text me, you missed me smoking last night. I was high as fuck. I woke up high. I'm like, bitch. So
I'm fucking throwing up my intestines right now. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what?
Like, bro, so serious.
The fucking goal.
I'm going out on the fucking buddy system, okay? Like, I'm making shit. As long as Star is there, I know I'm going to be straight, all right? Because Star will at least make sure he check on me. I'm going to check on him. Like, shit. Man, you got me fucked up. I was like,
that's
nigga.
That's crazy as fuck.
Wait, and it's hilarious because the person that I was like thinking, huh, you'd probably check on me, was always the person that was like, oh, when I'm fucked up, I would like for people to make sure I'm surrounded around a community of people that will sit here, you know, make sure I'm taken care of and shit. I'm like,
yeah, I mean, I think self-preserving is a part of our nature.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, like, yeah, people want them that for themselves, but they're never trying to be the one babysitting somebody that's fucked up either. So.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, you know what? It's cool. I made it.
Yeah, yeah. You here to tell the tale, bro.
Oh, jeez, but don't expect shit from me. Y'all expect a bitch ass thing from me. Bro, then this is just like a random ass part, all right? Random ass part of the story. While we was in the kickback and shit, taking shots, I asked, oh, girl, hey, let me see your phone, call Star real quick, because every time I try to call him from my phone, it goes straight to voicemail. So I'm like, maybe his phone's dead or something like that. I don't know. I see my contact in her phone. Guess what it is? Just take a random ass guess.
Bruh, it could be literally millions of words, really. Like, it could be millions of words.
Some Gemini man.
Technically, that's true.
What? Fuck you!
Technically.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, you are a Gemini.
I'm like, wow, okay.
You are a man.
Right, just some, like, I'm a random motherfucker.
Yeah, just some motherfucker.
Hey, cool. I'm just a random motherfucker around the way.
Bro, that could be, like, to disguise your name for something, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, a nigga wouldn't be that fucking, like, I guess, sketch if you look at a nigga name on your phone and say, some Gemini man, rather than I don't know what bitches, I'm like, wow, I ain't gonna feel offended by that.
Hell yeah, I felt trying.
Like, this bitch trying me.
Oh, Jesus, I'm just like, wow, she said you was never supposed to see that. Oh,
I mean, of course, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, she did try you, low key.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, okay, did. Remember that. And then it's just like, Brenda, but remember that, remember that. But yeah, you know,
his mind.
Oh, God. look, I made it. More little story. Don't drink and drive.
Facts.
Know your limits.
Facts.
And don't expect people to like make sure you're all right. If you out, right. I don't care if you brought them or not. Not unless they like your day ones. Yeah. Right? If they your dogs, then yeah, hold them to that standard. Facts. But everybody else, if you met them within the like 6 months to a year, bro, don't expect shit from them.
Yeah, they ain't gonna do it. They gonna let you down, bro. You have your hopes up, how they gonna let you down?
Yeah, on Jesus. Except for certain motherfuckers, all right?
Certain motherfuckers will surprise you.
Yeah, like real shit.
You don't even think they'll be down like that, but then they surprise you. So yeah, I can agree with that.
Like, hold up. Shout out to my homegirl, Sahara. Like, bro, met her through Instagram and shit. We've been like kicking it and blah, blah, blah. Well, not kicking it, but really like talking on the phone and shit, blah, blah, blah. I was telling her today about how I need to get something to eat, but I'm like, hold on, let me see how much I got and shit like that, bro. She just sent me $15. I'm like, yo, you really didn't have to do that. Like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like,
fire.
We ain't even fucking. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yo, damn. What? Like, bro, I appreciate that.
It's because, like, you keep your pee, bro.
No, jeez.
I just said some shit. I don't even like.
But it worked though. But it worked though.
Let's just go with it, goddamn.
Oh, jeez. But let me ask. All right. Since we are in this new age of music, you know, since AI is coming out, what artists do you think it'll be hard for them to actually mimic?
So, my first pick is Young Thug.
Bitch, why? Why?
Because he
why?
Has...
No. Why?
So
why?
The crazy
you
thing is,
you picked the same answer that I was going to.
I knew it. I knew it too. You know what's crazy? Because you said Lil Key off air, and I was like, damn, I don't want to give away my answer
because
it's so close to Lil Key.
You fucking asshole.
But I understand why you said Lil Key too, because him and Young Thug has these different modulations in their voice.
Facts.
They utilize it so many different
they
ways.
They use their voice like an instrument, exactly, more so than well, really, I ain't going to say Keed. I'd say just Thug.
Young Thug, right, mainly. Yeah. But Keed, like, Young Thug fathered the style.
So, oh, yeah, most definitely.
I mean, I guess you could say Keed just because he kind of, he used a lot, wait, rest in peace, but he used a lot of elements from Young Thug. But Young Thug, bro, is mainly, you know, who I would pick in this. I mean, I guess if you want to be just more entertaining, I can pick another answer.
I'm like, bro, I don't have nobody else.
That's
the
main
answer.
One, bro. Everybody else, I feel like, can probably be replicated. Yo, God. Young Thug is the only one, bro.
Free Thugger Thugger, motherfucker. All right, damn. Free that nigga. Free King Spider. Because there ain't nobody else like him. He a one-on-one.
But you know what's funny, though? I seen this fucking meme about, like, I think I posted it on my story. It's like, me looking at the imaginary camera anytime something crazy happens. I do that in my regular life.
Oh,
all
my
the time
mama.
Now. I just like. That's so crazy.
Like, did they really just. All right.
Oh, shit. So I want to have a debate on fucking Snowfall because I feel like we disagree a lot on this. Whether or not Franklin having his money would have changed the outcome of that storyline. Now, I think you. From our conversations, it seemed like you think that it would have changed the storyline. You think he would have probably been scot-free.
I feel like he would have been better off.
Okay, I mean, explain why, though.
Only reason why I say that, because at this point, he really didn't have to be in the drug game. He made enough money to where he could actually make a legit business and run a legit, clean, legal business. I don't think he would have actually had to get back into the drug game. Now, granted, I do understand that she was trying to protect him from himself because he was getting money hungry. But you have to understand.
So you a sissy blamer. That's what
you have to understand from his perspective. He had to kill his best friend. All right. His uncle died trying to save this bitch that really fucked up the whole operation. So, yes, I want all of my money because I worked for all of this shit. I worked too damn hard for all of this shit just to go down the fucking drain, or a nigga to steal this shit from me and I just walk away? What the fuck you mean? Now, granted, I get it might be a little bit ego and pride mixed in, but
yeah, it is. Please. It definitely is. I mean, like, I don't blame a nigga for losing out on, what is this, $72
million? $78
million. $78 million. I don't blame a nigga.
That's for, damn near $100 million, bro.
Yeah, you lose all that money, yeah, you're going to be feeling the type of way. I get it. But at the same time, I think the problem for Franklin is what he equated freedom to money. And
that's really what it is.
I mean, sure. But he that turned into, over the season, obsession with, let's just say, getting a job done, just to sum it all up.
Yeah.
He killed. It didn't matter. I mean, besides, you know, he wouldn't kill somebody like Uncle Jerome.
Yeah.
Probably not Leon, but he was still ready to crash out if Leon didn't give him that money. If them niggas went behind him, that it turned into an obsession for his money. And I think that obsession was there before Teddy took the money. I just think the Teddy situation hurt him personally, which is why he went off the deep end with that.
Yeah, and it bled into everything
else. Yeah, exactly. But I don't know, man. It seemed like his obsession with money. I mean, this, because I didn't, you know, I don't have any better words for that, just drove him to a point of no return. I think Sissy saw that and she thought, okay, well, let me sacrifice my life to save his.
Dumbest shit ever.
Why is that though?
Bruh, you help. Okay. That's just like people saying something about Leon. You want to atone for your sins now, but yet you done killed kids, killed so many fucking people in the name of Franklin, or just like, all the shit that you have done, you can't sit here and tell me now, oh, I see the error of my ways and now we just need to walk away from this.
Why can't you though?
I'm not saying you can't, but it's kind of too late now. It's way too late. Way too late.
I don't know. I think people can, you know, repent for their sins or whatever the case is. I think you're allowed to. I mean, granted, he killed a kid. He killed multiple people. He just killed the nigga that nobody ever talked about. Like when there was the raid happened with Andre and shit.
Yeah.
And they found out they was bumping music and shit. He just straight laid that nigga out. And I mean, yeah, those. I mean, you can't just say, oh, kumbaya now. You done killed niggas.
Bruh, not you in the fucking second season helping Franklin, keep the books on all his, what was it, dirty money and shit.
Like, I get why somebody would say that, but I also think he allowed to change his ways, though. I think what happened was,
they didn't give him the chance. She didn't give him a chance to actually atone, because he was actually working towards that. That's why he was getting out of the drug game.
Who are you talking about, Leon? Franklin. Oh.
He told Reed. That's why he wanted to just split. Because he's like, look.
No, he wanted to split because
I made Reed, you enough money.
Reed wanted to work with Louis. So he went behind his back. Louis went behind his back and fucked up the plug. So that's when he was like, I need to cut you off. It wasn't him like, oh, I just made enough money, I'm out. No, it's because he thought that Teddy went behind his back. And he thought that him having this little sit down with Teddy, even though the whole vibe with Teddy tells you that he was not cool with this at all.
At all.
He, like, his whole vibe changed. The bitch, he's like, oh yeah, let me get some whipped cream on that. He telling this bitch like what he wanted shit on a happy mood. Franklin told him that. He's like, bitch got my face. Basically.
basically. Like, what?
But I don't think Franklin was on his way out the drug game. I think it would have just got worse and worse. And I also think this is the 80s. Yes, he can probably, you know, figure some shit out and make some businesses.
He already had a shell corp, a ghost corporation, so.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna lie, bro. You work with the CIA.
Yeah, but he also had, like, a file on Teddy.
It wasn't nothing in there. That's why he wasn't able to give Ruben anything, because he didn't have any hard proof on Teddy doing anything. He just had, basically, accusations. So, yeah. But at the end, I think CIA didn't give a fuck about Teddy. He was expendable. They was going to kill him, I think, if he wasn't
killed. The nigger killed his father?
But I think with Sissy realized that Franklin's at a point of no return. I think she also realized that even if Teddy gives him the money, there's no guarantee of his safety after this. And I think she thought, if I take him out now and Franklin doesn't get the money, he doesn't have the opportunity to become his own worst enemy with his money. And I also get to kill two birds with one stone, because Teddy killed my husband. And he was actually really nonchalant about it. And like, Bitch, get the fuck out of my face. Nigga, I shot that nigga twice. Like, he was super nonchalant about it. So, bro, she
but
was
how
able
would you? All right, now be cool. Not be cool, but be understanding, at least in this aspect.
Okay.
How would you feel? You get tortured. All right. Hot grease on your chest. Y'all finally come to a compromise. Now the shit is about to be over. Do you really think I want to be hearing this bullshit right now?
I mean, facts. Like, bro, no cap. I thought the same thing. I'm like, this bitch still on this shit? Like, bitch, you don't fucking get like, what prison is he at, bitch? Shut up.
Like, nigga, get the dead fuck out my face.
I dumped that nigga. Fuck you mean?
Oh, God. Like, off a cliff.
Fuck you mean, bitch? Like,
damn, I was lying. Yeah, facts, I was telling though what you wanted to hear.
Facts, though. You at the last moment of this shit, you could finally get away and probably just plot to kill Franklin after that. I think that was
much. He wouldn't have. He wouldn't have.
Why wouldn't not?
Have. Because it's like, he knows if he comes after Franklin is smart. We all know Franklin is very fucking smart, especially just seeing his evolution from season two up to like now. He would have saw that shit a mile away because he saw when Avi was trying to rob his ass.
Well, it's hard to say when some shit is obvious because the filmmakers, directors, they kind of make shit obvious for fans to see.
Okay.
So we know the situation with Avi was kind of sketch. He was trying to get him out to dinners and have fun and shit. It's like, yeah, you being weird, nigga. This is a fucking bank trip. It's not
like, what the fuck you trying to do?
It's not a vacation, motherfucker. So to me, it felt obvious, but that's also like a filmmaker's trick.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I also think we underestimate how smart Teddy is. Real talk. I mean, nobody thought to check his fucking wallet for those account numbers at all. He fucking put him on there with some like
invisible ink.
Yeah, like yeah. Nobody thought to do that. This motherfucker had him on him the whole time. I think Teddy is just as smart as Franklin.
He's
is
smarter than Franklin because of his experience.
I just think Teddy is blinded by the mission. Just like Franklin was blinded by the money.
Yeah. They're both psychopaths.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
Like, well, not psychopaths, sociopaths.
Yeah, they have their own reasons though. They like one and the same low key.
Yeah.
Whereas even though they dropped Teddy off and CIA really just treated him as a way to make money for their war or whatever.
Literally.
But he wanted to be this American hero. He throughout the whole series he was dying to be the CIA agent, like this you know, white collar,
yeah, like
savior.
Crocodile Dundee, CIA.
yeah, he wanted that so bad.
America.
Even in the sixth season, Haymeyer, whatever the fuck his name is, he was like
his handler.
Like, yeah, he was like, yeah, we, you know what I'm saying, we're gonna get you a seat at the table, and you can tell even in his voice that nigga should not happen.
If you thought that shit was
that should not happening.
Nah, my boy, you know that shit dead.
Yeah, but I think what Sissy did was a good idea. I just think it didn't really work that well. But
y'all tell us what y'all think, because I don't think it was justifiable, honestly. Like, I'm not saying she was wrong.
Oh, it was justifiable. It's just whether or not you believe it ruined Franklin or not. Because if you kill a nigga that killed your husband, that's
no. That's just yeah. I'm just saying, like, screwing Franklin out of his money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you could have waited like 10 seconds.
But then they got a target on their back for the rest of their lives. You don't know, like,
now you got a target on your back now.
Not really, Franklin. First of all,
not Franklin. I'm talking about Sissy.
Oh, sure. I think the CIA don't give a fuck. They literally like, well, this black bitch can say whatever she wants, but nobody's gonna believe her over us. We have the power of press, motherfucker.
Yeah, true.
We can put this shit out in the media and like whatever. We can defend ourselves, nigga. We so powerful. We don't care about what this one black bitch is saying. And Franklin, it's crazy enough. I think he actually had. Well, all the shit that he did, he got off pretty good, bro.
Yeah,
even though he a junkie right now.
Yeah. Not in jail. What? But at the same time, he actually, like, he got cut a lot of slack.
Yeah.
A lot of slack. Yeah, I'll give you that. Because he got away with murder.
So many murders. Yeah. He killed a fucking cop, like, bro.
With his own gun.
Yeah. Like, he got he away like, with so many murders.
What that nigga Andre said? You ain't no fucking killer. Wait, nah, you ain't no killer. Now get the fuck out of my house. You right,
Andre.
Splat
that nigga face.
I ain't no killer.
Boom. Low key, I thought he wasn't gonna shoot him though.
That was like my favorite scene, like one of my favorite scenes in the whole series. All right.
You know what? That's a good
segue.
Yeah. Because one of my favorite scenes is when Uncle Jerome's about to crash out, And Franklin took that as being.
He was like, oh, you think you about, all right. I can't let you do this, huh?
he's like, when you die or something like that, I'm gonna tell your sister and your wife that I did everything I can. I was like, damn.
And he did.
He did. He got did. His ass fucked up.
I can wholeheartedly say Franklin was a real nigga. Mm-hmm. He was a whole. Granted, if you were actually a strategist, for lack of better words, then you would understand the method of his madness when it came down to him not telling Kevin about who actually killed Leron, Delroy, and the other little
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, about or how.
My phone is overheating. Man.
This is some old bullshit.
Yeah.
Cop.
Damn. Tough.
Yeah, tough as fuck.
Okay.
As fuck.
Yeah, we recording.
Yeah. But,
bro, have you fucking. Do you know anything about 50 Cent destroying Ja Rule? Do you know anything about that situation?
Nah.
Man, I just watched.
I know a little, not a lot.
I just watched a whole documentary on that shit. Why is my phone about to fucking lock itself? What the fuck? I just watched a whole documentary about that shit. Trap Lord Ross puts a lot of effort into his videos. Shout out to Trap Lord Ross.
Oh, God.
I know a lot of people don't like white boys fucking talking about, you know, hood, street shit, niggas dying and shit, but.
You're going to have to let him have it.
Yeah, because y'all niggas be posting on Twitter every time y'all kill a nigga. So, I mean.
Oh, God.
Don't be mad at him for talking
King
about
Brown
it.
King Brown was always talking about smoking on Tuca.
Yeah. Bro, every tweet he was talking, bro, he'd kill a nigga and just fucking talk about it in a tweet
yeah.
later. Like,
yeah, oh, God.
It's crazy, but. Crazy thing. First of all, Ja Rule. Ja Rule. Everybody knows Ja Rule took that massive L in that too.
In the Fire Festival.
Oh no! Before that.
Oh yeah.
Just with the whole 50 Cent beef.
That's like a second L.
Yeah. Did my phone just lock?
Well, if push come to shove, we could just use my phone.
I ain't gonna lie, because this shit is blowing the fuck out of me. Yeah, well.
You trying to use my phone?
I just fucked up my money. Well, if it does that same shit again, then yeah. But I just fucked up all my momentum. Basically, Ja Rule fucking lost that beef. Ja Rule, like, his problem was he kept coming out with diss tracks, and 50 Cent was dropping shit like Get Rich or Die Trying.
You know DMX was actually beefing with Ja Rule at one point?
Yeah, a lot of niggas beefing with Ja Rule. Why, though?
Bruh.
A lot of niggas saying he's fake gangster, which I mean,
he
I
is.
Can see that.
But the only reason why he was getting compared to DMX back then because of how their voice sound and shit like that.
Yeah.
And also, if it wasn't for DMX, this nigga Ja Rule would have been dead. Like, he was talking. They had the same fight in Chicago one time. They saw each other and shit. They start arguing, getting blah blah blah, getting to a verbal altercation. DMX was like, I, hold on, my dog. Let me do something real quick.
He really talked like that too. That's crazy.
He got on the phone. He was like, hey, I need all the dog pound to get up here. Arr. Hung up. Nigga, about 7 black SUVs.
For what? For Ja Rule?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. That's
yes.
Still
it was a
Ja
whole
Rule.
Bunch of Latin Kings, bro. A whole bunch of Latin
in
Kings.
In New York?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Wait, no. They were in Chicago.
Right. You did say flight to Chicago. Yeah.
Like, so, bro, nigga. He definitely, like, was calling him out a lot for that. The only reason why you alive, little nigga, is because of me. Like, yeah, you're my honest, son.
DMX, Eminem, and 50 Cent. And the whole Murder, Inc. situation, because they had like a RICO or something. Some crazy shit. I think embezzlement or something like that.
Murder. Yeah.
Yeah, with, damn, what's his name? I can't remember his name, but.
Benzino?
Nah, it was, was it Jimmy IV? No, it probably wasn't. I don't remember.
But, DJ Drama had a weak-ass RICO. That was the weakest RICO
ever.
Oh,
yeah, we talked about that before. But yeah, then the Murder Inc. got shut down. They tried to rebrand as Inc. Records instead of Murder Inc. Records. Worst rebranding of all time.
Incorporation Records.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they got caught up on that charge. They was like, yeah, we got to change his name. And they decided to go with the worst rebranding of all time.
Inc. Incorporated.
And then the Fyre Fest situation. I mean, like, Ja Rule could not catch a break for like 10 years straight, dog. And he got locked up through that time, too. Yeah, he actually went to jail.
Why his son looked more like him than him?
That's crazy, too. That's crazy.
That's wild.
That's crazy how strong Ja Rule's genetics is. Like, that's wild, dog.
That's his baby.
If it wasn't for Aaliyah, he wouldn't be famous, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, God.
But shit, man.
Oh, but, yeah, I ain't got shit.
Yeah,
I
mean, man.
I
ain't got shit. Shit.
Through the whole, like, all these fucking inconveniences. Yeah, my momentum is just, like, it ain't here.
I'm trying to remember something that I can just talk about. I just don't have anything. It's not even a momentum for me.
Yeah, I ain't got shit either, dog. Like, this is like, wow. Damn. I ain't got it.
Well, you should probably spend more time thinking about some shit rather than saying that you don't got shit.
Nah.
Out the wrong energy. You just won't end up thinking of anything.
Nigga, I'm here. Wait, nigga. Nah, it's clear that I'm here for a real reason.
You asked me a question off the... Nah, don't try to repeat that. Oh, wait. I got something.
He got hit like I got hit, but he ain't fucking breathing.
Yes.
Many men.
Yes. That was a cold bar, though.
That was cold. Wish Jeff for me. Like.
But you asked me another question off here.
What if many men actually.
What about the Steve Harvey thing? You just forget that?
I don't even want to talk about that bullshit.
Nigga, ain't shit else to talk about, motherfucker. Bring it up. Like, nigga, the fuck we just going to be looking and staring at each other?
Yeah. So, apparently, this nigga Steve Harvey has been going viral lately, simping.
Roll the clip.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I got to find it first. You like a
this fucking vape sucks, dog. I don't know what the fuck got into her,
but she just said fuck it.
Sour apple, dog. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad taste if it wasn't made in fucking Chinese factories.
Facts.
But
slide up to the table with. What about your job? What happened to men who were supposed to be responsible? Do you know that it's our job to take care of a woman and some children, to have a family? That's our damn job.
Alright.
So what's your opinion on that?
I'm gonna keep it a whole stack with you. It really is our job as men to actually be the provider in the family. Alright? Especially if you're wanting to start a family. But I will say this, nigga, you pandering.
That's the word.
Like a motherfucker. Pandering. You pandering like hell.
Definitely pandering.
Like, definitely. Yeah. And also, you have to take into consideration as well, without me, she can't make another me. There's no way possible. Even if you buy a frozen embryo, that's still bringing a single child into this world. All right. That she has to raise, that will fuck that. Children not coming from stable households is more, it does more harm than good for humanity. All yeah, right. Yeah. That's just in my opinion. But how.
No, that's facts. That's facts.
Okay. So, yeah. How I feel about it, men need women, women need men. And if you ask a man, well, nah, what you bring to the table, don't flip it on me if I'm asking you. Because if I'm asking you, what are you bringing to my table? Then, which granted, I'm just keeping it a bean. I still think that question is fucking stupid. All right. Like, that's not something you just ask somebody. All right. Like, what type of people raised y'all? Like, real shit. But to ask a woman, okay, what are you bringing to the table, or what qualities do you have in this relationship that, you know, we can actually bounce off of each other or can complement each other off of? I don't think that's unfair, but I do feel like don't. I'm fucking up.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of walking back your opinion instead of just being blatant. Yeah. I think you walking back what you think would offend people instead of just telling people your opinion.
All right, well, raw and uncut, this is my opinion. Steve, please shut the fuck up. Okay, like, please shut the fuck up. Because in all honesty, dude, you've been pandering to women for years. And I get that is your core fucking audience. But at the end of the day, you have to look at it. The generation of women that came up back then are not the generation of women that we have now. Some women in this generation do not even respect themselves. So how the fuck can you sit here and ask me that I'm wrong for asking you, what do you bring to the table, when you clearly don't have no motion? If I can see that you have no fucking motion and I'm sitting here taking my time out to like go on a date with you or some shit, like, I'm gonna ask that. These are legit questions, because guess what? If you're older, or if you are in a mature mindset and you're trying to actually build a family and move on and actually create a future, these are questions that need to be asked, or at least this is a conversation that needs to be had. Like, real shit. Tamar Braxton, for instance, she asks a man, okay, on at least third date, fourth date, she's asking, okay, financials, what do you do for a living? You know, basically asking that question of what do you bring to the table, but without just asking, what do you bring to the table, just so blatantly. So I think it's still a fair question, but at the same time, it's like, yo, stop trying to demonize men, all right, and try to put the blame on men and say, oh, just women are just the bee's knees and all this good shit. No, we need each other, all right? We both have our own strengths, our own weaknesses, but trying to divide us and having this age-old, stupid-ass conversation is not getting us anywhere. Real shit.
Yeah, okay, so.
And I know that was, like, long and drawn out.
Yeah, but, yeah. It was real loaded. It was a loaded answer, but. First of all, I agree. I think it's a valid question. I think Steve Harvey came up in a time where women wasn't allowed to work. And if they did, majority of women wasn't working. Men were the providers.
Yeah.
The economic state was completely fucking different. He's an older man. So him having this traditional ideology does not surprise me at all. I'm like, okay, well, you know, Steve Harvey saying this makes a lot of sense. He's an older dude. But yo, we are in completely different times now, my nigga.
Do you not realize if you are raising a family in today's generation, or at least in today's economical situation that we in right now, you need at least two incomes to raise some kids?
Exactly.
All right. Like, if you're trying to do that by yourself, you're going to need government assistance, and that puts a hurt on your pockets on how much you can actually make. That puts you in a box. So. Oh, damn. So the fact
I was gonna let you get that off.
I'm like, okay, all right. So the fact that, look, like, again, I'm always keep saying this, and I'm gonna stress it as much as I can. We need each other. This age old debate of what do you bring to the table is fucking stupid. You can't sit here and tell me that today's generation, that the economics that we're, yeah, I already said that shit.
With that being said, though. Well, damn, man, why you cut me off? What's wrong with you?
I didn't mean to.
What's wrong with you, nigga? Like, what the fuck?
I'm sorry, Dad.
what was I saying? I was talking about the economical state of the world. Yeah. I just think we're in a completely different time. Like you said, you can't afford to start a family without money. Two sources of income. You need that. Yeah. I think when somebody asks the question, what do you bring to the table? I don't think it's so much negative connotation around it. And I think it's because of the red pill community.
Facts.
I think they're the reason why when somebody asks that question, it's almost like you're offending me by saying, like, oh, like, do you even have anything valuable to add to me? Because that's the context is usually talked about in on these red pill podcasts.
Facts.
But it's really like, yo, what resources do you have so we can actually start a family, so we can get married, so we can whatever, you know, get a house, whatever the fuck. Like, do you have that drive to, or that stability, or that maturity to be able to, you know, sustain this relationship? Are you willing to settle down? Those are valuable questions.
Facts.
I think, and I also think, bro, a woman being able to have babies is not valid enough for me to just say, okay, yeah, I get her.
Like, that's
nigga,
real shit?
Steve Harvey, y'all standards was so fucking low if that's the case. Like, nigga.
Oh, you can bring in a child? All right, that's all I need.
All right, we back recording.
Yeah.
But nigga, if that was y'all standards and that was the only standard, my nigga, That was super low. You actually need to revise that
and reevaluate your life, my nigga.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm actually happy that niggas are asking for more now than just having fucking babies. Like, every woman can have a baby, my nigga.
Facts. Like, she can go to a sperm bank right now and go buy some fucking sperm and inseminate herself.
Any woman can have a fucking baby. So yes. If that's the standard. Well, right,
I'm not gonna say any woman, because you do have those women that are barren
and
yeah,
stuff like but, that. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, but. I mean, most women.
But you,
like,
yeah, in this context, yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah,
I get
most
what you mean.
Women have, especially around our age, most women can have babies.
Oh,
so
Jesus. Oh,
if
Jesus.
That's the case, nigga, then we should just take up any old scallywag that's in the fucking street that can have babies.
But let me ask you, why is it so bad for a man to ask, what do you bring to the table? But then a woman can ask the same question to a man and nobody would bat an eye.
Well, first of all, we talk about double standards here all the time. And I don't think there's any problem with double standards because we are different genders.
I feel it.
I think, but like I
go ahead.
I just think it's just a negative connotation around it, connotation around it because of red pill shit. And it's not an age old debate because just like Steve Harvey is
pandering.
Yeah, yeah. But just like Steve Harvey is showcasing this ideology of just taking care of women or being just taking the place of being a provider. Was how they thought. It's not until yeah, I ain't gonna lie, this has not been smooth at all.
Bro, this is blowing the fuck out of me.
Yeah, this ain't a smooth process whatsoever. We got the fucking interface disconnecting randomly, my phone overheating. Let me use y'all the phone.
This gotta be plugged up. We should have just did this from the get go.
Yeah. I mean, my phone usually don't overheat. Well,
yeah, true.
It overheated in fucking. Damn, what's that nigga's name? The Don Honcho interview.
Damn, it did?
Yeah. It once, though. Once.
Oh, okay.
Alright, you good? Yeah. Well, damn, this camera feels much better, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, like before, niggas was just taking the position of being a provider for just women because they can provide them kids.
Yeah.
So I think it's just recently in 2019, maybe 2020, because I think that's when the most turmoil between men and women as far as relationships go happen, where a lot of divorces happen and a lot of babies end up happening.
Yeah, pandemic season.
Yeah, motherfuckers was fucking.
Bro, yeah, it was pandemic, bandemic. Yeah. It was fuckdemic, like, bro.
Facts on the bandemic, because niggas wasn't.
That EDD, but them EDD boys was hitting, but it was hitting.
Not even just that, but content creation was at all-time high.
Oh, Jesus.
Niggas had so much time. Like,
yes. Entrepreneurship was at an all-time high around that point.
So I think maybe in the past 3 years, that's when we started to hear more, what did you bring to the table? If I'm not mistaken, that's when Fresh and Fit started to blow up. It's around 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
So I just think it's an offensive context around it. I hate to be this person, but this is also the double standards thing where you may want to ask a woman a little differently, what do you bring to the table? Maybe ask her the same. Ask her what she brings to the table, maybe in a different way.
Yeah.
So that she doesn't feel offense to it.
Yeah, but, I ask that shit all the time. You just
ask it straight up?
No, I ask it like with finesse. All right, like a true pimp. All right, like, not pimp. I'm sorry, like a true player. All right, that's how you really push it, P. All right, like real spiel. Now, you see her ask, where do you see yourself in 5 years? How much do you make? Like you act, or shit, some shit you really don't even have to ask. You can just see it.
She gonna tell you, or you gonna see it throughout.
Oh jeez, all you have to do is just shut the fuck up and let her talk.
Now, with that being said, though, I do agree with Steve Harvey. I guess if this was his point of niggas worrying about what the woman brings to the table, but they never pay attention to what the fuck they bring to the table.
Okay,
I do think it's valid.
Yeah,
if a woman flips it back on you, granted, being that she has something of her own to provide to the table besides having babies. But if you ask her what she brings to the table and she go and ask you, I think that's valid too. You should be bringing something to the table too. It's not just a woman thing.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's not. I'm saying anybody that asks that question has to make sure they have something that they're bringing. Or obviously you're bringing something. Like me personally, I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, I'm bringing like my whole, I got a whole house and shit. Nah, me and my mom, we live together. We split the bills. It's just me and her right now because shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like I'm living with her. We're living together. I got my own car. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I got a job. I'm into stocks. Like, I'm smart. I have business ventures going. So they haven't blown up yet, but they're slowly but surely growing. So if you're not going to be able to bring anything to add on to, or at least ease my mind with all this shit that I got going on, then I'm going to need you to get the fuck on. Bucko. Straight up. Like, be smooth and move around. Like, straight.
I guess, but I, like I said before on the podcast, I can't remember what episode it was, but I still think, granted, I do think they're valid questions. You should be able to know these things, but I also think it's a rush in the process thing. I think most of the things you want to know about a person, you will find out.
Yeah.
If you pay attention, you will find out. They will tell you. They will show you. Their friends would tell you.
Facts.
The shit, just the personality of their friends would tell you type of person she is a lot of times.
Facts.
Too. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, I know a lot of people want to know that so they don't waste time, because that is one of my biggest fears too. I'm in a relationship. Everybody knows that, is that I spent a lot of time that could possibly be wasted. Not saying that I have these thoughts, but 5 years that can go down a drain. You always think about it from time to time.
Of course.
And a lot of people want to avoid that. I don't want to spend, well, you know, the average man is, I don't want to spend 5 years with a female to find out this fucking, well, you don't have to spend 5 years, by the way, but to find out stuff you need to know about a woman. But that's just the beauty of the process, heartbreak and all that, even though it sucks. Those are darker sides of relationships, but that's the beauty of it, bro. And it develops you into a better person.
So let me ask, when do you think it's right to actually ask those type of questions?
I don't think, well, it just depends on the type of person you are and the type of person she seems, and whenever you will feel comfortable asking that. I wouldn't personally ask that question. I feel like I would find out just being,
you're very observant.
Yeah, I'm an introvert and I'm very observant of what I see.
Yeah.
So I feel like I would find out within a month or two of us dating, at least the personality traits I need to know to date you. Now, within that dating, I would have to see personality traits to make me think I would want to marry you. And then, you know, so on and so forth, have kids, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not me. But if that's you and, bitches are receptive to that, that's fine, too. I don't think there's any time frame or when you should ask a bitch that. Yeah, especially, bro. I hear that niggas are just fucking out here too. Like, it's a crazy world. It's, bruh, the relationships not really valued that much.
Bitches are fucking.
Who fucking them, nigga?
Obviously, fucking them, but like, it's like, look. Without them actually giving us the AOK, like, how the fuck we fucking? We ain't like none of my niggas raping bitches. So
sure, but it's a consensual thing. It's not like, it's not like they give it up and y'all just. Oh, it's there. Like, y'all both consenting to sex.
Yeah.
So everybody fucking. It's not just them saying, oh, y'all can fuck us. And y'all like, oh, well, I guess we do it.
But then it's like, to the extent of, all right, so how do you feel about a woman holding a bargaining chip, holding her pussy as a bargaining chip?
I don't think it's valuable enough to hold it. Well, it depends on what type of man she's holding it against.
Yeah.
And I hate to use these terms, but if you're a high value man, I don't think it's valuable enough to hold it, you know, hostage for that type of nigga. But if you're like a low value man, quote unquote, a nigga ain't got no motion, no bitches, no money, no.
You
nothing,
ain't trying to do shit with your
you. You ain't got nothing going on. Oh yeah, she can hold that pussy hostage, and she will win for sure. She will. You know. She will win. Look, it's because you have nothing else.
Yeah, shit. Look, I just thank God. You know, I got this forehead, but I ain't ugly.
But shit, ugly niggas get some box too, nigga.
Man,
shit, what?
But nigga, it's easier for me. All right, I'm more appealing on the eyes.
Sure,
I feel like I got the eyes.
Hey, if you ugly nigga, bro, you can get bitches.
Oh God, you just gotta get your G up and then get your swag up. Yeah. And I promise you, you
pop
out,
you get some hoes, bro. Real talk.
You get banned up, fanned up, nigga. You can get some funyuns. Get you some munyuns. Have you some funyuns with some bunyuns? All right,
facts.
Oh God,
facts, bro. Facts.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, but as far as Steve Harvey goes, because we never conclusively wrapped that up, I hate when we do that. We just kind of just venture off. Yeah. Then
it's because we're winging it.
That's true.
Because we're winging it.
To wrap that up. But
in a boat.
First of all, what Steve Harvey is doing and been doing, pandering to women. It's just there's no way that you can pander to women and also be
genuine.
Well, genuine and fair to men, because you're pandering to women, so you want to appeal to them the most. And I get it. Women are the best market, and that's why Steve Harvey, once he found out that,
I ain't mad at him.
He started honing in on that shit.
I'm not mad at it. Get your motherfucking bread, but don't make it harder on us, the actual working man that's trying to do right, but yet still have to deal with these social norms, all right? Yeah. Or social bullshit. Like, come on, dude. I think it's fair for a man. All right, like, let's say me and you. Mm-hmm. We are in the process of becoming high-value men because we actually have emotion, or at least we're working towards a bigger goal.
Yeah.
So.
Sure, yeah.
We can ask a woman, or not literally going to ask her, but we have the choice to ask, okay, so what are you bringing besides just pussy?
Yeah,
because if I got to sit here and trick off on you, be there for you emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, and all otherwise, I'm going to need you to bring something other than just you fucking me.
Yeah, real talk.
Yeah.
And even sometimes, like, depending on what type of man you are and depending on what your needs is, because what you bring to the table is what those things you want to hear are the things that's going to fill in with your needs.
Yes.
So you, even if you just the type of nigga that just like, man, I just want somebody I can talk to, like, on a consistent basis about my problems and shit like that. Like, that's also good, too. But, yeah, like, that's not something.
Real shit. Nah, that's like, some real shit. That's it all something. Depends. It's all for you. No one shoe does not fit all. I, like, real spiel.
Like, when if I was to ask that, I'm not looking for no extravagant-ass answer. I just want to know that you have more value than just what you was given by I guess, God, your vagina. Like,
yeah, don't tell me, oh, I'm just support. I'll support you. The fuck does that mean?
Yeah, it's super, like, vague, because that can range from a whole bunch of different things.
Like, yeah, like, if you're going to say, I'll support you, just say, I'll be there for you. I'll be your rock, your ride or die. I feel like that's a way better answer to sum it up than just saying, oh, I'm going to support you. Because when you say I'm going to support, that can mean 15,000 other different things.
But here's what makes it weird for me is that you have to focus on your wording when answering somebody's question during a date, what you bring to the table. Why should a woman have to focus on how she says something? What if she means, if she says, I'm supportive, what if she means I'm a listening ear, I'm there to hold you when you're feeling down? What if that's what she means, but she says supportive? Like, is that a deal breaker?
I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker, just because I'm an overthinker. I would overanalyze that. And I would be like, okay, well, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, real shit. If I don't hear any context behind it, I'm gonna, like, just take it for face value and be like, okay, well, I guess I'll just see how this works out.
But doesn't that sound like a fucking job interview where you say, oh, you know, what are your qualities? What makes you qualified for this job? And they say, well, I'm a hard worker.
Okay, you're right. Listen.
That can mean, though, that they the best at RF scanning. I don't know. They the best at whatever.
But even in an interview, you know, you have to literally, it's just like math homework. You have to show your work. Like, you know, you have to explain, go into actual deep, in-depth detail and telling them why they should pick you as a candidate to be in this position. But just dating-wise, I don't think, like, nah.
That's my point, though.
I see what you mean now.
In an interview, you would have to clarify these things. Why should you have to do that in a date?
Well, shit, I'm an overthinker, and that's just me.
Hey, man,
I'm not stating the rule for everybody. I'm just saying, if I'm gonna ask you, which granted, I'm not asking no woman, what do you bring to the table? Okay, like, I don't care what it is. I'm not asking that, because I can just see what the fuck you bring. Like, real shit. Like, yeah. I can notice. Like, I pay attention to shit. Yeah. I pick up on your habits. So I'll say, if you're going to come over here and be a part of this team or whatever, all right, you're going to come on the Jew side, I'm going to need you to at least have your own car, all right? Like, you can have pussy and all that other
consistent
shit.
Consistent income.
I need, yes.
A lot of what I need in a relationship mainly is being just adult. Mental, to be honest. I mean, of course, you need to be an adult, but I think that's mandatory. Like, in this day and age, you can't afford to really be a childish ass adult and not be responsible.
That's not just unless you're a bad bitch in Los Angeles.
And you got like dope ass parents that just buy everything for you for sure.
Yeah, true.
But for most people.
Yeah. Some people that didn't come up with a silver spoon.
Yeah, you can't afford to just be irresponsible. And I've been learning that a lot lately too. Is that shit, bro? Being irresponsible costs a lot of money. So, like, I just think that's a given. That shouldn't be something that if I was to ask you what you bring to the table, you kind of be like, "Well, I'm a responsible adult." Well, I think you should already, regardless.
Yeah, that should be a no brainer.
Yeah, that's not a dating qualification. That's just more of a living qualification.
Like, you can't tell me, "Oh, I pay my own bills and shit." Yeah, that's what you're supposed. You want a cookie?
Yeah.
Like, if I don't pay my rent on the first, guess what? I'm evicted.
Yeah, you're out of there, buddy.
What the fuck you mean, bucko? Like, yo, and that's the. Like, I'm sorry, I hate to even say this, but it's like, why are we glorifying and praising women for doing shit that you're supposed to do? Like, real shit. You don't hear a man sit here go on social media and say, "Oh yeah, I'm an independent man. I pay my own bills. I do my own thing. I don't need no woman for nothing."
Well, because since the beginning of time, women has always been just servants in the kitchen taking care of the babies. So now that they out here making their own money, I guess it's something to be proud about. I guess
with that context, I can understand.
Yeah, they never really had the abilities to have jobs or shit. They was under the man for a majority of history, goddamn.
Yeah, true. But it's like, if you was actually able to vote back then, you automatically got signed up for like the draft. That's why a lot of women didn't do anything with voting. Because they would have to go to war.
Well, a lot of women didn't even want to start. They didn't even want to work. So, I mean, a lot of shit is different now. Yeah,
and then it's like you have a split of this generation. They're like, "Nah, I'd rather go to work and have my own money, not ask a nigga for nothing," which is fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. Do you, baby. Do you. And then you have the women that are just like, "Yeah, y'all need to shut the fuck up. I want to be an at-home wife. I want to be stairs. Yeah. I want to stay at home, take care of the kids. I don't want to work. I want to be spoiled."
Even in, I think it was the 20s when that shit happened, where women, you know, got their rights to vote and stuff.
Yeah.
Even then, a lot of women was like, "Yeah, I would rather be at home making dinner." Like, yeah, I would rather do that.
At least I don't have to deal with all these other motherfuckers that I don't know like
that. Yeah. A lot of women was actually cool with that. But to wrap up what Steve Harvey said,
again,
like you said, stop the pandering, dog. It's really sad to see. I mean, you could be fair with your critiques. There's a lot of women out here that deserve talking about, brother. You ain't paying attention to that, but you got a lot of nerve.
You ain't talk about the woman that was seen here molestation on little boys and shit.
You ain't talking about the fucking whatever her name was that was talking about aborting black babies. You weren't talking about that.
You ain't talking about Casey Anthony.
You was sheesh.
Like, you ain't said nothing bad about these women, but you'll dog us niggas.
Yeah.
Boy, you a hoe for that. And you're one of my favorite comics, all right? And I love Uncle Steve. But boy, you a hoe for that one.
And that's the saddest thing, because with pandering to women, he has to bring down men, and that makes it. That's what makes it not hurtful, but more cringe. It's like, nigga, this shit is not one sided. There's not a one sided conversation, my nigga. You got to pay attention to both sides, or else you're just gonna give a very fucking a one dimensional take on
just
this
like
shit.
That pink sauce bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the gay nigga sitting here just pandering to her and shit like that, when the white chick was actually labeling out facts from the FDA. She was like, "The FDA, I don't do anything with money. What do you mean?" Like, oh my God. Like, bro, you're pandering to these dumbasses.
That's like, so fucking sad, bro. We coddle women a lot, and they can be just as dumb as niggas can. So that's what makes it so sad.
Like, I honestly blame the dads. I whole high key blame the fucking fathers.
You know why I don't blame them, though? Because if I had a daughter, I would coddle the fuck out of her. I'm not going to lie.
But you're right.
I would be so fucking on go about my daughter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't want her to experience no struggle.
Yeah.
And I get why dads be like, and this is, you know, we already wrapped up the Steve Harvey conversation.
Yeah.
But I get why dads treat their daughters the way they do. At least a lot of women I see, they have good dads in their lives and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, man, you don't want your daughter to to struggle and shit and end up getting with a fucking nigga that can't provide her nothing.
Facts.
Her standard's gonna be higher now because you done gave her everything she ever wanted.
Look, I'm gonna tell you, she's not gonna
give it no broke ass nigga that's just trying to knock her up. Like,
nah, that's real shit. Cause it's like, bro, you not about to sit here and just shack up with my baby girl.
Yeah.
Like,
And not have nothing. Nah, she gonna know what it feel like to have what she wants in life. Wait, and she gonna know that's not you.
Bad boys too. When Facts. You have a kid, bro, I promise you, I'm gonna be Uncle Larry. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be Mike Larry. like, who the fuck is Reggie, nigga? Time back down. So when I do quit or when I do give them my 2 weeks notice, yeah, my last check will be my last check. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I guess long story short, I even though it sucks because we experienced a direct effect of that, which is very spoiled women that don't really
spoiled, have spoiled, entitled.
Yeah, we get that. We get the result of that.
Yeah.
But man, if I was a dad too, bro, I would be the same way. And hey, if that comes with that downside, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that result. I'm fine if my only downside to that is maybe her also being entitled, but niggas complaining about it on podcasts. If that's my downside, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
What?
I don't give a fuck. I will spoil the shit out of my daughter.
You know what? I can't even be mad at that. I can't. Because I already, look, I'm already protective over my little niece right now. All right. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like, me personally, I'm not spoiling my niece. I'm not going to. Now, if she needs something, whatever the fuck she want, she got it. But I'm not going to spoil her rotten to where she doesn't know how to work for anything or she doesn't understand the true value of what I just gave you.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to actually understand, you don't have to get this. Please appreciate it, because this is a privilege, not a necessity. Okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard for you to teach them that, to be honest, though.
Yeah, like,
they won't understand how to appreciate things because they didn't work for it. You the one that worked for it.
Yeah, and I don't want to call them ungrateful because that shit, in all honesty, that fucked me up mentally. Like, I got mental health issues from that because my uncle's sitting here saying that shit. That's why I apologize so much. I'm so fucking over-explaining and shit.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing. And I wouldn't want my daughter nor child to even have to do that shit.
Exactly.
So I get what you mean.
Yeah, because like, it's easy for if I was a parent. Because my mom called us ungrateful too before we even understood what it took for her to do the things that she did for us. Like, yeah. Now I understand that much more. Yeah, you would seem ungrateful, but it's only because as
kids, you don't know
don't know what the fuck work it took with fucking blood, sweat, and tears it took for them to get this house or this fucking car, this etc.
How many mental breakdowns you had at the job
in the fucking bathroom stall crying because it's you tired as fuck, or you had somebody just die or something, like some crazy shit. Like now I'm understanding of that, but yo, I think when you in the process of having your first daughter. Yeah. Mainly darted because I don't think we treat our sons the same way.
Nah, like, my son, look, I ain't gonna lie, my son probably gonna get spoiled. Not really? spoiled, but he gonna get spoiled. I
wouldn't spoil my son. That's like a double standard thing.
Nigga, I'm spoiled, but I'm spoiled with a purpose though. I'm spoiled in the right ways. She take care of me, I'm gonna take care of you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm spoiled too, low key. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, like, yeah. Shit. Yeah, I mean, my son gonna get spoiled, but it's gonna be the right way. I'm gonna still teach him how to like work and shit like that.
Yeah,
and also I feel the better presents to get your damn kids. Set them up a portfolio, Roth IRA. Give them something with some compounding interest to when they turn 18, 20 years old. They don't have to ask you for money or at least have a perfect credit score so they can actually go do something with their life and not have to just struggle. Come on, y'all.
I mean, to be honest, though, you could probably, since they were a child, probably put $5, $10 a day into an account. And not necessarily as a present,
$20 a week.
Yeah, just like you know, some on the side so they have something to fall back on when they're going through their college years or whatever the case is.
I had my first bank account at 12.
Damn.
Yes. My mom made sure we understood what money was, or at least I was still, you know, kid and I spent all that shit.
Obviously. Yeah. You still didn't understand really what
money was. Yeah, but you know, it's like I had a fucking credit card. Well, I had a fucking debit card.
Oh, you had access to it too?
Yeah.
That's
a whole pen and everything. Like, bro.
Yeah, that wasn't optimal at all.
But at the same time, I'm different. I grew up around adults, so I knew how to like manage my money, but not manage my money, if that makes any sense.
Well, my son, I, bro, I like, they're spoiling, which, I don't know. Like, I'll probably get him some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, his swag going to be on my swag.
Yeah, yeah. I treat him good with that type of shit. But at the same time, bro, I think what my biggest problem was and why it's taking me or it took me so long to learn money management. Shit, taking me so long to learn money management. I didn't have a job up until I was legally an adult.
Nah, I feel
that type of shit is not going to fly with my son. He's going to definitely learn how to make his own bread and learn the price of money, which sounds really stupid on the surface, but we oftentimes look at this money, $20 or whatever, boom, it's gone. We don't understand how little money that is when we kids. I think when you work your own job and you at least pay a phone bill. I ain't asking for no rent or nothing like that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. First of all, black parents, y'all fucking suck with this. Shout out to my mom. She never did no shit like this. To me at least. Y'all, when a kid get a job, that don't mean make them start fucking financing their entire life, my nigga.
Hell nah. You make them learn how to pay certain bills like rent, phone bills, stuff like that. Not anything too fucking too out the way to where their half of their check or at least two of their checks is going directly into the household.
Exactly.
Like, nah, they which granted, we can definitely just say the older generation was learning. All right. They're still learning to this day.
My mom is young and she's still learning parenting.
So, like that, so. It comes with the territory, because when you have kids, it's not a book on raising kids, or even if there is a whole bunch of books, there's nothing in this world that could prepare you.
For true
parenting.
For sure. So does that scare you? Like, just the idea that when you become a parent, you won't know exactly what to do.
No. Only reason why I say that is because I self-reflect a lot, and I've been self-reflecting since honestly I was four. So that's why I remember a lot of shit from when I was like 4 years old and up. Mm. I know how as a child, how I would react to certain things or how I would think about certain things. So that I know how to approach certain situations. Like when it comes down to my niece, I know how to handle her on her level, but I still talk to her like she's an adult, or I talk to her like she's still, you know, a grown person, not just talking to her like she's a kid.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you give them respect as a kid, they're not going to truly understand that.
Yeah.
Once they truly understand what's really going on and you give them, you label it out for them and they truly understand it and grasp it, then that's a whole nother ball game. But
you got to think, it's like, you're going to have to deal with probably bullies. You probably, especially if you get your forehead, but you're going to have to deal with bullies. You're going to have to deal with.
I'm going to be roasting my son. I'm going to do the Lexi route. I'm going to just be roasting the fuck out of my son, getting him prepared. We not about to do this. I'm like, oh, fat forehead ass dude. LeBron part.
It's like no kids learning boxing.
I'm going to tell him straight up, look, son, you don't swing not unless they swing on you.
No, I'm not teaching my son that shit. You swing first all times.
Nah, because you could catch the charge first. No.
If it's going to go up. Right, you can shit. You can say self-defense even if somebody had the aura of somebody about to attack you. He didn't even have to attack you.
But I don't want my son getting suspended and shit like that. That's a bad record.
I don't give a fuck. Like, I mean, of course, I don't want him to get suspended. And do people actually pay attention to school records?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that actually coming up in real life.
I wouldn't say it comes up in real life, but it does like trickle out into adulthood because how he handles certain situations.
Yeah, true that.
You got to look at it like that.
True that. I just see it as, and this is something they teach you in martial arts. Yo, always be the first one to get ready. Always, because you don't know if that one shot can sleep your ass.
Yeah.
So
you see a nigga start jumping, you like, all right, leave him alone. Yeah.
So you want to be the first one to connect, because if he connects on you first, that could be it. And boom, now you the fucking talk of the school. Now they roasting you. Now
true.
You shoot up
true.
The school.
Yeah. With that context, I'm definitely going to tell him, you better swing and knock his head off.
Yeah. and the crazy
thing. Don't kill him, though.
After this, we're going to wrap it up. But right. And the crazy thing is, and that's why parenting is so hard and underrated, is you can tell him that. And that ended up being fucking the worst decision possible. But you couldn't foresee that. You thought you was telling him some great advice. You thought I learned this when I was younger. Swing first so you don't get fucking knocked out. But boom, now he fucking expelled from school. And like, you was the one that delivered that advice.
Hey.
They're a reflection of you. And
look, it's either he swing on that little kid, or I come up here, beat that little kid's ass, tell him to get his uncles and his dads, I beat his ass, or I start shooting up some shit because I don't play about mine. Straight up. Like, straight up. If I hear something happens to my child at school, I'm one of them parents that's coming up with all type of fucking weapons and shit, bro. Like, I'm going to have all that shit in the car, and I'm going to come in that bitch with my fucking strap concealed to where y'all don't see that bitch. All right? And I'm going to say, all right, what's going on with my son? Who's fucking with my son? Oh, okay. Y'all think I'm playing.
All right. All right. Well, wrapping that up, man. I can't wait till we parents. Shout out to all the parents out there.
I can definitely wait.
Oh yeah, I can wait, but I can't wait at the same time. Yeah, I feel that sentiment. Yeah. But yeah, it's been your boy Nate on the mic. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Short Story Learning Podcast.
Yes, sir.
All my social media is gonna be down below. Yeah, man. Sorry for this episode being so choppy, y'all. It's interface is acting up. Don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
We've been pretty blown. I'm surprised we got this far. We would have typically you just rescheduled.
Yeah, okay.
But we made it, man. We made it to the end. So
okay.
Shout out to that. But
hopefully
yeah,
this all won't be for nothing.
Yeah, facts. But wait, why would it be?
I don't know. Because you'll be like, nigga, that episode was trash.
I feel like it was good. I mean, there were some times where we were just talking about bullshit and not really making much sense, maybe. But yeah. I feel like for the most part, we did a good job.
Yeah. Well, again, it's been your boy, Juke. AKA the Granny Slayer, the Panty Player, and also the Hoe Taker. Yeah. Y'all know what the fuck going on. All social media's handles will be down in the description below. YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. We will be uploading more content up there. Just please bear with us, all right? A 2-man team that actually lives life and has a job and pay bills and shit gets kind of hard, but you know. We appreciate y'all for at least, you know, staying down with the cause.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But, yeah. We got.